The title of our message, God is Faithful. To be faithful means to be reliable, steadfast. It means to be unwavering. It also means to be trustworthy, to be true, and to be loyal. Some of the synonyms that are nearly the same as the word faithfulness in their meaning. But all these things are true of God's faithfulness to his creation and especially to his people. I went through the scriptures that speak on the subject of God's faithfulness, and I selected 25 passages for this message. I know that sounds like a lot of scriptures for one message, and it is. And so we'll be breaking this into two messages for time's sake, so you can all relax. There's a lot more passages that speak on the subject also, but these 25 verses or passages are more than sufficient to show to us and to prove to us that God is faithful. These passages teach us that God is faithful, that his word is faithful, and that Jesus, his son, is also faithful. And those are going to be our 3 points for these two messages on the subject, God is faithful. So let's get into it. First, God the Father is faithful. Generally, when we say God, when we speak of God, we mean God the Father, don't we? In the Old Testament, most of the time when God's name is mentioned, Elohim, you know, a lot of names for God, we understand. But when God's name is mentioned, we think about God the Father. We know God the Son is also God. We know God the Holy Spirit is also God. But when we read the word God, generally it's speaking about God the Father. So we're talking about, first of all, is when we're talking about God the Father is faithful. And we have several of these we're going to look at concerning God the Father, and that's why it's going to take up the biggest part of our service this morning. But first of all, we see that he is faithful to his covenants. And if you want to turn to some of these, we'll try to turn to some of these this morning. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. This is a wonderful chapter of scripture, Deuteronomy 7. We don't have time to read everything that Moses has to say here in this chapter. But in Deuteronomy 7 and in verse 9, we'll just read this one verse, which says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God was faithful to his covenant with Israel. And he is faithful to his covenant of grace that he made between himself and his son Jesus and his people for our eternal salvation. God is faithful to his covenants. What God has promised, that he will do. Next, we see that God is faithful even when his people are not faithful. Oh boy, that sounds like us today. Unfortunately, we're not always faithful to God, but thank God he's always faithful to us. In Psalm 89, and we're going to read a few verses, 4 verses here, Psalm 89, beginning in verse 31. Down through verse 34. Psalm 89, 31. "If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with a rod, and their iniquity, iniquity with stripes. And that's speaking of what? His chastisement. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. God is true to his word. What he hath said, he will do. Regardless of what his people do. They break his statutes. They keep not his commandments. Yes, he's going to visit them with the rod and with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. As we all probably know, Israel miserably failed to keep God's covenant that he made with them. Yet he remained faithful to them in spite of their unfaithfulness to him. And beloved, it is no different with us today. And I know I say this often, but we're no better than the children of Israel were back then. We have the same old sinful nature that they had. And so we're just as prone as they were to rebel against our God. But even when we are unfaithful to God, he is still faithful to us. He will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of his lips. Now, that doesn't give us license or an occasion to sin against God because we know that he's faithful to us in spite of our unfaithfulness. No, that's not what it means. But it's just a simple fact that we're not going to be as faithful as we should be, but God will still abide and remain faithful to us. All right. God is faithful in chastisement. We already saw that in this passage that we just read back here in Psalm 89. But in Psalm 119, this is David speaking in this psalm. And, of course, this psalm is all about the Word of God, isn't it? Wonderful psalm. Longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, we're going to notice just verse 75. Psalm 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, or righteous, that's the same word, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, David didn't foolishly accuse God of being unjust for chastening him, for afflicting him, as some do. But he acknowledged that God was faithful and righteous for chastening him. I know Chris likes to talk about his children. We think about our children and our dealings with our children. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just using this also to point out, you know, if our children do something bad, you know, something that deserves punishment, and we know it, and yet we fail to discipline them for that, that breaks their heart. Oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't break their heart. But I'll tell you what, they're going to miss out. They're going to miss out on the necessary correction that they need. We don't like to have to exercise corporal punishment on our children. I never liked it, so I let Joanne do it all. No, that's not always the case. Of course, what my kids will all probably tell you is we'd rather have you beat us than to lecture us for an hour. They couldn't stand the lectures. Oh, well. But David, he recognized that he deserved the chastening of God, and he accepted it as being righteous and faithful on God's part to chasten him, to whoop him when he had done wrong. But God's love and grace also never fail. And I believe that that's what David's hope and trust were in. When God has to chasten us, what should that tell us? That he's a mean God? No, it tells us that he loves us, that he cares for us. If he just let us go and let us get by, what would we think? We might begin to doubt, question God's love for us. Next, God is faithful in his mercy and compassion. If you want to keep following along, move up to the book of Lamentations. I preached on this a while back, whenever that might, a while back might have been, but that's after Jeremiah, the little Lamentations of Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, one of the songs that we just sung this morning, one of the hymns, was based on this passage. In Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, Jeremiah said these words in one of the most difficult times that he and Israel ever went through in their history because of Israel's sins against God. Yet Jeremiah could still say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. God had every reason to have utterly destroyed them. You would have to read the book of Jeremiah and understand the times when this was written to appreciate it. But God had every good reason to have destroyed them, yet it is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. They say that mercy is God not giving his people what they deserve. That's mercy. You know, that's what God gave to Israel. Grace and mercy are so much alike that we almost use the words interchangeably, as Chris talked about in his lesson this morning. You know, unmerited favor, still unmerited favor. But mercy is God not giving his people what they deserve, and speaking of his punishment. Grace is God giving his people what they don't deserve, salvation in Jesus Christ. and all the blessings of life that he gives us we don't deserve. Well, yet Jeremiah could still say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. As we sang that hymn, great hymn. Next, God was faithful in sending his son. Isaiah 49. Recently, we brought a series of messages and brought a lot of passages out of the book of Isaiah concerning the coming of Messiah and, of course, of the end times was sort of the theme of that series. And I'm sure we went through this chapter, not just the verse that I'm about to read, but in Isaiah 49, I just want to read one verse. And there's a lot in this chapter concerning Messiah, concerning Jesus, and his first coming as well as his second. But in Isaiah 49, verse 7, it says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One. That's Jesus. When you read that, God the Father speaking and referring to the Holy One, his Holy One, he's talking about his Son, Jesus. And his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth. Was not Jesus despised when he was upon this earth? To him whom the nation abhorreth. Did not the nation Israel abhor their Messiah, the Lord Jesus? To a servant of rulers. Jesus became a servant to the rulers among the Jews. He became a servant unto the kings of the Gentiles. But he goes on, says, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now that he shall choose thee is speaking about God the Father shall choose the Son for the work that he had called for him to do and purpose for him to do. But this is one of those prophetic passages and chapters of the coming Messiah and Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaks of his first coming as the sacrifice for sins and of his resurrection and ascension back to glory and even of his final victory over this world. God promised many centuries before it happened that he would send his son. Oh yeah, prophecy started way back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And the prophecies just kept coming in all the way up until the end of the Old Testament period. We see the prophecies of the coming Messiah. All the way up to Malachi, we see those prophecies. Many centuries before Jesus would come, God promised send his son. And guess what? He was faithful. He was faithful to keep that promise. God promised Adam and Eve. He promised Abraham. He promised David. He promised all the prophets. He promised all his people that he would send his son. Guess what? God is faithful to send his son to be our Savior. Well, next we see God is faithful to confirm us to the end. We're going to move to the New Testament now. New Testament now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we preached on this text a while back, not very while back. It was not very long ago. We preached on the entire chapter, actually, a message there. But I just want to notice from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 for the thought pertaining unto this message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 Apostle Paul, the speaker, says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Who shall confirm you to the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He was faithful to the Old Testament saints. And here in the New Testament, we see that he is faithful to the New Testament saints, both to save us and to keep us until how long? Till when? Until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back again for us. In other words, he's going to keep us all the way to the, and he's going to, what did he say over there? He's going to not only just keep us, but he's going to keep us blameless, that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have a coffee yet, so I'm just picking it up from you guys, you know. Like you see somebody wave their hand first, and you know we're all waving our hand. God is faithful to confirm us to the end. God is faithful in allowing temptations. I thought Chris was going to end up here today, but he didn't, I don't think, if I was listening. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God is faithful in allowing temptations. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This is another one of those passages of Scripture we all need to remember, that we might reference in our hearts and minds when we face temptations. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful to not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. He remembereth our frame. He knoweth our frame and remembereth that we're just dust. The Lord knows our frame. The Lord knows all about each and every one of us. He knows what we're able to bear and what we're not able to bear. And I know I've said this before, some of us are better at certain temptations, but we're weak in other areas. The Lord knows all about us. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. And I'm sure our weaknesses far outweigh our strengths. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation, he will what? Make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Every building you go into, you walk in the commercial building. You walk in, the first thing you see, if you look, which most of us don't never look, but by law, they have to have those fire escape routes up there on the wall. How many people would ever know how to get out of the building if it weren't, you know, if that got on fire, because nobody ever pays attention to those fire escape routes, jump on that elevator and no, that's not the best approach. Anyway, God has given a way to, he's provided a way to escape. It's up to us to find that route, that escape route, to know what it is, that we don't get caught up in the temptation. He will provide the escape, but he's not going to allow you or me, as children of God, to be tempted above that we're able to bear. Now, temptations are necessary for our growth. They are for our good, ultimately. But God won't let the temptations overwhelm us and cause us to fail or fall. He is in control. That's the wonderful news about this whole subject, is that God is in control of all things at all times. He is in control of all the things that come into our lives. He knows long before we ever get there and on our calendar what's going to take place in our lives. He knew from eternity what would come in our lives. So he's in control. And always remember, he is out for our good, right? Romans 8, you know. We won't read that this morning. We read that probably too often, maybe. I don't know if you can read that passage too often from Romans 8, 28 down through the remainder of the chapter. But always remember that God is out for our good, regardless of what happens in our life. If we're saved by his grace, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We can know, we can be absolutely sure that God wants and knows what's best for us, and he is ultimately going to make sure that that happens. Well, next we see God is faithful to preserve us blameless. That sounds similar to what we already have read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're in 1 Corinthians, so just keep on going back a little farther till you get to 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Paul's final words to the Thessalonians in this first epistle. He says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Again, God will preserve us blameless. He already more or less told the Corinthian church the same thing. God will preserve us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. When the Lord comes back again, he's going to take all of us home. I mean, he's going to take our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, and he's going to perfect all three when we're glorified, when he takes us home to be with him. But in the meantime, he's going to preserve us. He's going to preserve us blameless. You know, we're blameless before God on what condition? We're blameless on the condition of Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed on Calvary. And the fact that he took our blame. And he gave us, in return, his perfect righteousness. And therefore, God is going to preserve us in that state until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, God is faithful to establish us and to keep us from all evil. 2 Thessalonians, move over a book here now to chapter 3. And in verses 2 and 3, which says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. We live in a world today that is full of unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I dare say most men or people have not faith. The vast majority of people have not faith. Not true faith. Not true saving faith. But God is able to establish us in the faith and to keep us from evil. Now, we live in an evil world. I know I wear that out in my preaching. But we live in dangerous, perilous times. Paul said that perilous times would come. Dangerous times would come. We're here. They're upon us. As the Bible says, that God is able to establish us and keep us from the evil. Whether they be evil men of the world, or even evil people in the church, as back in Paul's day, they had a lot of those who had infiltrated the Lord's churches, who were teaching every imaginable heresy and error. God's able to keep us from all of those, as John, in 1 John we see, we taught about. But not only men, but also the evil, or the evil one, as the evil oftentimes is meaning the devil, the evil one. God is able to keep us from all the evil that we will face in our Christian life. Now, if he allows something to happen to us, it's because that was part of his purpose. Just as in the case of Job, right? God allowed Satan to touch Job's life, to destroy, take everything he had, and then afflict his body. Sometimes God allows those things, and we just have to say, Lord, as with Job, you know, naked came I in this world, and you know, I brought nothing in this world, I can take nothing out of this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he's able, even in the most wicked of times this world has ever seen, God is able to keep us from the wicked. The wickedness of it, from hurting and bringing harm to us as his people. I'm not saying he will necessarily do that, but he's able to, if it's his good pleasure to do so. He is able. God is faithful even when we believe not. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Paul said here, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Commentaries are all over the place on that verse, but I'll just tell you what I think about it. There are times when our faith is weak and we doubt God and we fail to believe His word concerning His love and His faithfulness to us. But thank God that He abides faithful in spite of our unbelief and our doubting His love and His grace for us. He abideth faithful and He cannot deny Himself. He who took up residence within us is going to abide within us, and He will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. He will not deny Himself. We're going to have times when we are weak in faith, and we're going to have our doubts about God's love and His faithfulness to us. But thank God, He's not going to deny Himself. He is not going to ever leave us. He abides faithful. God is faithful to His promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. God's word exhorts and encourages us to hold fast or cling to our profession of faith and to trust in Him because He is faithful that promised. Or He is faithful to His promises. All through the history of the relationships of God and His people, He has proved over and over again that He is faithful to His promises that He made unto them. That is a message, beloved, in itself. But Hebrews 11, the very next chapter, gives us a long list of examples of God's faithfulness to His people and their faith in Him, which leads us to one of those examples in Hebrews 11. And in verse 11, God was faithful to Sarah. In Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was 100. This was a natural impossibility. She was way past the age of bearing children. Yet she judged him faithful. That is God who had promised her a child. Not just any child, but a son to inherit all the blessings and promises that God had made to Abraham, that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed, and that son, Isaac, was the promised seed, as it were, through which would come the Savior, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who was the real seed, as Paul taught in Galatians. He is the seed, Jesus Christ, but He had to come through Abraham, as God had promised. He had to come through Isaac, had to come through Jacob, and down the line, all the way until the New Testament. So Sarah believed God. She believed the promises of God that God made to Abraham and to her, that he would give her the promised child. And guess what? God did that. God was faithful. God gave her, even though through all the years of their, you know, married life, all the trials and things they went through, and still no child. And then finally, when Sarah was 90 years old, now, how many people would not have given up hope? Well, Elizabeth didn't. The mother of John the Baptist. There have been a few others. Well, finally, God is faithful, is a faithful creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. This will be the last verse. I know it's getting late, but I don't think we'll starve to death. We might make it. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Trust our souls to the faithful creator. And we said that, mentioned that just a little in the beginning of this message, that God was faithful over his creation. That is a most powerful argument for trusting in the faithfulness of God, that the almighty sovereign creator who keeps and sustains his creation and preserves it until his appointed time, read all about that over in 2 Peter chapter 2. If he can preserve and keep his creation that he made in six literal days, then certainly he is able to sustain and to preserve his chosen people until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that would be a rather easy task for God as compared to sustaining the entire world and universe. Yes, beloved, God is faithful. We've seen several passages of Scripture this morning that clearly teach this glorious truth. This evening, Lord willing, we will see that not only is God, God the Father, faithful, but also we'll see that His Word and His Son, Jesus, are also equally faithful. We saw this morning that God was faithful in sending His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. Beloved, you can believe and trust Jesus, whom God has sent to save you from your sins by His death on the cross for sinners. Believe in Jesus this morning, and He will save you and give you the gift of eternal life. And that's a promise He'll never break. That's a promise He'll never break, as we've seen in several of these passages of Scripture in the New Testament this morning. All right, that's all we have this morning. We stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Pray God will bless the messages that have been taught and preached today to our hearts, that we will be exhorted, encouraged in the things of our God. And His faithfulness. He is a faithful God this morning. I pray that you know Him this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray.